We have now reached the end of our series, the book of Titus. And personally, it was a joy for me to study and to teach itong maiksing liham na ito na sinulat ni Paul kay Titus at sa mga Cretans or Cretan Christians. It also gives me much joy to see our congregation growing in the area of teaching and living the gospel of grace ng Panginoon Hesukristo sa kanilang lives. Sa buong series na ito, ay marahil mas nauunawaan na natin ang growing concern ni Paul kung bakit niya sinulat ito kay Titus at sa mga Cretan Christians. And for two heavy reasons kung bakit niya sinulatan, two heavy concerns. One, it's because dahil yung immoral culture ng lugar. Concern ni Paul na he doesn't want the Christians in Crete to be influenced by such immoral culture. Instead, gusto niya ay maging gospel witness sila at sa kanilang culture ay ma-impluensyahan sila through their living, through their teaching, through their gospel witness. They are to live out the gospel of grace in their lives so that the watching world would be adorned, to be attracted sa kanilang pamumuhay, sa kanilang pananalita, maging attracted sila sa Panginoon Hesukristo. A second concern kung bakit sinulat ni Paul ito kay Titus, it's because of the growing number of false teachers. Yung mga bulaan, mga mangangaral. Paul gives instructions to Titus how to deal with them. And part of that is in placing faithful men or elders who are strong in the doctrine. Na kanilang doctrine are backed up by their living. Yun ang mga kailangan i-install as elders. They must deal with this problem with doctrine as a church and as living. These two are strong witnesses to combat false teachers. Now, ngayong hapon na ito, sa ating pag-aaralan, Paul repeats yung points ng chapter 1 and points ng chapter 2 sa chapter 3, which is interesting. This is a summation ng kanyang itinuro sa dalawang chapters na ito. And kumbaga, this is like a summary of everything that he has talked about. He is trying to stress strong points. So kumbaga, parang in-explain niya yung 1 and 2, kung paano mamuhay, kung ano yung problema. And from chapter 3, again, inuulit ko, parang ganon. So inulit po niya halos lahat dito. That's why yung main idea po natin ngayong hapon na ito is the church is called to preserve and pass on the gospel of grace. The church is called to preserve and pass on the gospel of grace. We have three divisions of this final exhortations ni Paul, and I divided it into three. One, final warnings, verses 9 to 11, o mga huling babala. Itong first point na to is subdivided by two sub-points, which is first, avoid dumb teaching, verse 9. And second, avoid divisive teachers, which is verse 10 hanggang 11. Point number 2, final instructions, so verse 12 to 14. Mga huling tagubilin. And number 3, final greetings, verse 15. Huling pagbati. Unahin ho natin ang ating unang punto, final greetings, mga huling babala. After Paul's exhortation on how good works are profitable sa body of Christ, how good works are also a means to adorn the gospel of Christ to the watching world, now Paul instructs or tells Titus the things that are not profitable. Okay? Are not profitable o mga bagay na walang kabuluhan na dapat hindi nila gawin, na hindi dapat nila sabihin, na hindi dapat nilang entertainin. He warns them of two destructive things. Yan yung sub-points po natin. Unang-una, avoid dumb teaching. And now, which is that's verse 9. And number 2, admonish divisive teachers. Verse 10 hanggang 11. First of all, avoid dumb teaching. Now, bakit dumb? Or avoid foolish discussions. Yun yung term na ginamit ni Paul, foolish. Verse 9, but avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. So Paul gave the reason kung bakit wag gawin sa last part, unprofitable and worthless. Ang conjunction na but is a contrast sa mga naunang na ipahayag ni Paul sa Titus, kay Titus sa verse 8, which is teaching sound doctrine or teaching the gospel of Christ. Yung word na avoid or sa ibang translation ay shun ay nasa present active tense na kung saan ang isang action ay kailangan paulit-ulit niyang gawin, pagkagaya ng napag-aralan natin last week. Kaya ang basa po dapat dito is keep avoiding. Keep avoiding. It's a constant reminder, it's a constant warning, it's a constant activity na dapat ginagawa ng mga Kristiyano is to keep avoiding. Keep avoiding what? Which is yung titignan natin in a while. Avoid here literally means to go around. Yun yung pinaka-literal na translation niya, no? To go around or tinatawag na turn away from something. Turn away from something. Sa Tagalog, umikot ka ng daan para makaiwas. Ang dahilan kung bakit ka umiiwas ng daan ay para may maiwasan ka ng isang bagay. Yun ang literal definition ng word na avoid. Paul is warning Pastor Titus at ganun din ang buong Cretan Christians na dapat paulit-ulit nilang iwasan makinig, iwasan makisali sa mga walang kabuluhan na katuruan at mga talakayan. Ang pinagmumula ng mga walang kabuluhan na katuruan at talakayan na ito ay ang mga false teachers. No? Sila ang mga grupo na tinutukoy ni Paul sa chapter 1 verse 10. Kung naaalala po ninyo, ang description pa nga ni Paul sa kanila, sila yung insubordinate, empty talkers, and deceivers, na kung saan sila yung part ng circumcision party, mga Judaizers kung tuwagin. Sila ang mga nagkakalat ng mga makamandag na katuruan who are turning whole families sa church, sa loob ng church, away from the truth of God's Word at sa gospel. So, ang babala ni Paul warns Pastor Titus to be careful in engaging in such foolish discussions and foolish debates sa loob ng church. Ang foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law ay hindi na po bago sa kultura ng Crete. Kung mamamarkahan ang mga taga-Crete, yan po ang kanilang mga kaugalian, paladibate, laging may issue. Ay, di ba may kilala ka ba mga tao na laging may issue? Na may kakausapin mo, biglang pahahaluan niya ng mali siya. Hindi ba yun ang ibig sabihin niya ay ganito? Sa tingin ko, dahil nakikita ko sa kanya yan eh. Alam mo yun, yun yung buhay dito, no? Laging nakikipag-away. No? Parang nakakapagod yun, no? Kung may tao ka, mahal mo sa buhay na kung saan, laging nakikipag-away, no? Eh, pero ganun ang kultura, ganun ang nakasanayan sa Crete sa time na to. Ang mga tao po doon ay mahilig sa kontrobersya, mahilig sa debate, at laging patungo sa away. Do you have a relationship with someone na kung salang ayaw mo na makipag-usap kasi mauuwi na lang sa away? Nakakapagod po yon. At ganun yung kultura mismo sa Crete. Ayan din ang kinakatakutan ni Paul na mangyari sa loob ng church, yung ganung klaseng kultura. Kaya ganun na lang si Paul, ano? Sa ibang pastoral epistles ni Paul, makikita natin na pinaaalalahanan din niya ang iba pang mga pastor ng ibang churches. At isa sa mga pastor na kanya pinaaalalahanan, isang batang pastor na ang pangalan niya ay si Timothy. Pinaaalalahanan niya si Timothy patungkol sa mga ganitong klaseng mga individual. Winarningan din niya si Timothy. Basahin ko, ano, magka-cross-ref ako sa 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. Ang warning ni Paul kay Timothy naman is remain at Ephesus. Okay, hindi niya pinapalis si Timothy sa Ephesus, sa church doon. Bakit? So that you may charge certain persons not to teach in any different doctrine. So, ganun din pala ang problema sa mga churches sa Ephesus. Hindi lang sa Crete ang mga ganun problema. Verse 4, nor to devote themselves to myths, endless genealogies, which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. So, may ganun issues din pala ron. At sa 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 naman, pinalalahanan din ni Paul si Timothy to not engage in such discussion. He said, have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths, rather than train yourself for godliness. Huwag ka makisali sa mga ganyang debate na wala namang pinatutunguhan. At sa 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, ito yung huling epistle or letter na sinulat ni Paul. Binanggit din niya ng mga naligaw na sa mga ganitong klaseng mga katuroan. Kasi may mga naligaw na to eh. Yung mga na ganyan nagtuturo, marami rin ang influensyan sa loob ng church yan. At dahil dyan, nagkakaroon na ng ligaw-ligaw na paniniwala. Ito ang sabi niya sa 2 Timothy 4:4, these people turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Kailangan po natin mag-ingat sa mga naririnig natin, mga napapanood o natin. Minsan, ang gaganda, no? Napapanood natin, naririnig natin, nakaka-attract, nakaka-entertain, pero ang totoo niyan, walang laman. Mga katuruan na sinasabi, eto mangyayari sa iyo, pag ganito ginawa mo, ganito ang mangyayari. Ito, meron hindi tinuturo sa iyo ang pastor niyo na i-unlock ko yung key ng success niya. Ingatan po natin yan. Ni-reveal ng Panginoon ang kanyang kalooban sa salita ng Diyos. Bagamat may mga bagay dito na that are not yet fulfilled sa mga prophecies or not yet explained, pero hindi ibig sabihin na hindi binigay ng Panginoon ang pinaka-meat ng kanyang salita, which is si Christ, which is yung gospel ng Panginoon Jesucristo. Ingatan po natin yung mga ganyan. Naunawaan ni Paul how destructive ang ganitong klaseng kultura sa loob ng church. Isang kultura na madalas nakikipagtalo sa mga walang kabuluhan at katotohanan ng kontrobersya. Mga katuruan na ala namang basihan sa salita ng Diyos. Na kung saan you will go to a Bible study, na kung saan walang pinag-usapan, kung hindi parang nakaka-intimidate itong grupo na to, puro theological discussion. Yung pala, wala rin na pala na pupuntahan. Imbis na ma-edify, imbis na mag-glorify ang Panginoon, nag-uuwi ng masasamaan ng loob, na nag-debate sa loob. Hindi yan ho dapat ang makita sa mga Bible studies, hindi dapat yan ang mga makita sa loob ng church. Should we disagree? Yes. As long as tama ho yung nasa scripture at hindi ho tayo lumiliko at lumalayo, at hindi naman yun ang emphasis ng Bible, yun ang ginagawa natin, emphasis. That's why we go through inductive Bible study. We go through from the passage. Para hindi maligaw ang application, para hindi maligaw ang discussion. May mga certain emphasis ang Bible na kailangan natin upuan, kailangan natin pag-usapan kasi ito ay tama, dapat lang nabigyan ng diin. Pero yung mga hindi kailangan bigyan ng diin, huwag na natin speculate. Minsan nauubos na yung oras natin doon. Itong klaseng discussion na ito ay nagdudulot lamang ng argumento, away, katisuran sa iba, at pagligaw ng pananimpalataya. Kaya nung sinulatan ni Paul si Titus, napansin niya na yung churches mismo sa Crete, may mga miyembro na ganito. Kasi may mga miyembro rin silang mga bulaan na mga ngaral, mga false teachers, na mahilig sa ganitong klaseng talaan. At sinabi niya kay Titus sa chapter 1, verse 14, ito na yung instruction ni Paul, kung naaalala ninyo, sa ating previous previous preachings, rebuke them sharply. Anong purpose kung bakit kailangan sharp ang rebuke? That they may be sound in the faith and hopefully maayos ang kanilang paniniwala at hindi sila magpatuloy. Kaya ganun na lang ang babala ni Paul kasi itong mga tao na ito ay kukunin ang salita ng Diyos, dadagdagan, babawasan, at lalagyan ng mga palamuti. Papagandahin. Gagawing more attractive. Kukuha sila ganito yung ginagawa ng mga Judaizers, itong mga false teachers sa loob ng church ng Crete. Kukuha sila ng isang pangalan sa listahan o pedigree ng mga ninuno. Okay? Ang tawag sa mga listahan ng mga ninuno is genealogies. Yun yung ibig sabihin nun. Listahan ng mga ninuno saan? Sa Old Testament. Kukuha sila, sige kunin ko yung pangalan na ito, George, kunyari. Hanapin ko si George sa Genesis, hanapin ko may mga George din sa Leviticus, hanapin ko yung George sa Numbers. And from there, pagkukulek-kulektahin niya lahat ng pangalan na George at biglang dadagdagan niya at gagawa niya ng storya. Ganun ang ginagawa ng mga individual na to. Gagawa nila ng kwento na hindi totoo sa individual na ito. Tapos, ito ang gagawin nila. Once na nag-gather sila ng mga information sa mga Old Testament quote-unquote saint na ito, lalagay po nila sa Agada. So ano po yung agada? Let me explain ko ano ang agada. Ang agada ay mga collection ng mga texts o teksto na nagmumula sa Talmud or mga rabbinic literature. Nilalagay nila yun, dinadagdag nila. Na ang laman ng rabbinic literature na to or agada ay mga traditional beliefs ng Jews, parables, historical anecdotes, mga moral exhortations, or practical advice na nilalarawan o ang kahulugan ng law or ng mga customs or biblical passages. So lahat yan, magkakasama yan dyan mismo sa agada. At ang gagawin po nila is bubuksan ho ito at babasahin. Babasahin nila. Kaso ang problema sa agada ay hindi ho reliable na source of biblical resource. No? Kasi halo-halo po yun. Although maganda yan, dahil maririnig mo yung makikita niyo yung kultura noong time na yun, pero hindi siya inspired. Okay? Ang pagkadagdag nila sa agada, itinuturo nila sa mga tao, and from there, yung tinuturo nila, eh dinidibati nila. Yun ang pinagdidibatihan nila, yung mga haka-haka, yung mga naobserbahan nila, yung mga nilagay nila doon. What was happening here is theology is being replaced by mythology. You see that? Halimbawa, meron silang isang libro na ang tinatawag na Book of Jubilee. Okay, ang Book of Jubilee or Lesser Genesis. Yun ang tawag nila ron. So ano yung libro na yon? Ito isang klaseng komentaryo. This book, bigyan ko yung mga konting yung flow ng libro na yon. This book follows the account of creation as recorded sa Genesis. Pero bagamat sinusunod nila yung account ng Genesis, may mga dinadagdag din sila. For example, isa sa mga dinadagdag nilang detalye, kagaya ng si Adam, di ba si Adam may mga anak na lalaki, alam natin yung pangalan, pero yung mga pangalan ni Adam, ang mga anak ni Adam na babae, walang pangalan, dito sa Agada, nakalagay yung mga pangalan ng mga babae. So parang tipong ganun ba? Okay? Isa pa sa mga nakalagay dyan, meron din silang kasulatan na pinag-uusapan na pagbanggit ng circumcision for angels. Which is nakakapagtaka, no? And that there are angels na nag-o-observe ng Sabbath. So isipin mo na lang yung pagdidibat. Ang ahel ba ay nag-aano ng Sabbath? Anong araw? So isipin mo parang walang kwenta yung pinag-uusapan talaga. Ano ang pangalan ng anak ni Adam na babae? Yung panganay, yung mas matanda. And ay, hindi na parang. Kasi yun na, debate na. Yeah, I know, it gives us laughter. Tapos circumcision of the angel, ayoko na-expound ho yan, pero nakalagay yun doon, pinag-uusapan, pinagdidibatihan, nagiging source of this unity. It's foolish. Foolish. Paul calls that foolish controversies. At napakadami pa noon. Makikita yun sa verse 9. Ang salitang foolish sa Greek is moros. Na nakuha natin yung salitang moron. No? Moron. Ano ba ibig sabihin po ng moron? Moron also means nonsense, senseless, stupid, or kahangalan. Kahangalan. Ang sinasabi ni Paul ay avoid moronic, senseless debates. Avoid moronic, senseless arguments from false teachers. Iwasan nyo yan. Huwag nyong entertain. Huwag kayong makipag-engage dyan. Huwag bigyan ng atensyon o pag-ubusan ng panahon. Kasi hindi rin maganda sa kaluluwa nyo. These teachers attack the gospel by adding things into it. At isa sa sikat na tinuturo po nila at pinagdedebatehan ay yung kahalagahan ng circumcision at pag-obey ng Mosaic law apart from Jesus Christ. Yes, kailangan mo si Jesus Christ. Amen. Pero kailangan nyo rin ng circumcision. Kailangan nyo rin sundin lahat ng mga Mosaic law para kayo maligtas, para kayo mapatawad, para kayo masave. And from there, yun ang pinagdidibate. It's foolishness. Itong mga tao na ito spend hours speculating on issues na wala namang saysay o kabuluhan. It is foolish and Paul says hindi yan ang focus ng teaching. Hindi yan ang focus ng teaching. When I was a young Christian, I have heard from so many churches in my time, when I wrote that, parang shucks, ang tanda ko na. Ako na isa sa mga sabi, nung panahon ko. In my time, ano? Kasi hindi na to issues ngayon. Madalas ang pag-usapan o pagdebatihan yung mga walang kabuluhan na bagay rin. Meron din kami mga walang kabuluhan na bagay na pinagdedebatihan noon. Banggitin ko yung iba sa inyo. Gaya ng mga babae sa mga naka-fellowship namin churches before, may mga churches kaming mga kaibigan, na kapag ikaw ay babae, bawal ka magpantalon. Lalo na maong. Kasi compromiser ka. Hindi yan ayon sa kalooban ng Panginoon. At pinagdedebatihan yan. It's foolish. Marami hong na-lead towards legalism because of that. Meron din mga nagkakagulo na may mga certain versions sa Bible na kailangan basahin lang at ituro. Kapag hindi, kailan ka nakakilala sa Panginoon? Naalala ko yung sa matandang pastor. So, hindi ko na matanda, pero itong event. Okay, anong Bible ang ginamit? Ito pa, hindi ka Christian. Abay, matindi si Manong. Sabi, eh bakit po? Kasi bubuksan ako kung saan ako pa iikutin. Nahihilo ako. Ang laki ng Biblia, ang liliit ng mga lintay. Hindi ko maintindihan. Kung hindi itong version ng Bible lang yun, hindi ka Christian, hindi ka tunay na ligtas. Eh, teka muna, delikado po. Delikado, you know, yun yung mga foolish controversies po. I'll give you one. Of course, nandiyan na rin yung bawal ang drums at saka electric guitar dahil yan daw ay mga musiko ng Diablo. Kawawa kami mga young people noon. Okay? Kaya kita mo, yung mga gupit namin, mga 2x4, eh, alam niyo, kung edad niyo ako, alam niyo yung 2x4, na dapat yung magandang yung slacks, nakabarong ka, mga babae, naka-long palda. I'm not making fun of such things, but I'm making fun of the ideology na kung saan foolish. It's foolish. And they make that scripture. Pag hindi mo sinunod yan, talagang nasa kamunduhan ka. Now, manalala ko nung batang pastor pa ho ako, we have seen growth ng church namin in numbers noong time na yon sa church na to. At napansin namin, may mga, kasi pews, alam niyo yung pews? Pews yung ginagamit namin noon. Sa mga generation na ito na hindi nakakaunawa ng pews, these are wooden benches. No? Na mahahabay. You see most of them in old churches, such as my old church. So because we're growing in numbers, we need to make a very hard decision na kung saan i-dispose yung mga chairs. Nara pa ho yun, no? Maganda. Every year inalagyan ng barnes yun. So, nung nagkaroon ng transition, pinalitan namin sa monoblocks. So, monoblocks is plastic chairs. Mostly, it goes the color goes by the color white, no? Yung mga monoblock. So, nung eto na, first service, excited kami. Talagang madami nga, nakaupo lahat ng tao. And all of a sudden, an elderly member gentleman approached me and with all of his dismay, said, Pastor, nasa na yung mga pews? Ay, kasi, so pinaliwanag ko, alin ko, makabuti sa iglesia natin. Hindi naman, ang tigas-tigas niyan. Monoblocks ho. Eh, di ba ko mas matigas yan? Yung, hindi, sabi niya. Kung hindi mo papalitan yan, hindi na ako babalik sa church na ito. And I'm not exaggerating, yun ang sinabi niya. O siyempre, hinampas siya ng asawa niya. And again, praise God. Again, don't mistake me, you know, this man is a godly man. He's faithful, he's serving the Lord. He's pouring his life out of other people. But sometimes, may mga ganong ideology tayo na kailangan ipaglaban natin ng patayan, which is hindi naman dapat. Friends, these are foolish arguments and debates. Friends, let us not be distracted by debaters of foolish theology and preferences. Let us not be distracted by foolish preferences and theological myths. Let us not lose sight on the clear, sound instruction of Scripture. Friends, are you strongly pushing your personal preferences to others? Are you strongly pushing secondary and tertiary theological views on others as well? Pray, mga kapatid, pray for our church. Pray for me as a pastor. Pray for future elders and pastors ng church na ito that we don't get distracted from preaching the truth of God's word, especially these changing times. Pero pastor, paano kung hindi humihinto ang mga tao na ito, kung tuloy-tuloy pa rin sila sa mga ganitong klaseng katuruan? Anong kailangan natin gawin? The answer is that is warn them. Which is yung second sum point natin. Admonish divisive teachers, verses 10 hanggang 11. Paul here is repeating his instructions from chapter 1, verse 11. Na ang sinabi ni Paul, they must be silenced. Verse 13, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in faith. Now, tingnan natin yung verse 10. As for a person who stirs up division after warning once, him once, then twice. Oh, let me stop right there. Ang salitang warn dito does not mean threatened. Hindi yun ang ibig sabihin yan, yung bantaan mo, hindi po yun. Yung salitang warn, parehas ang sa salitang ginamit sa Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4, na kung saan pinaliwanag ni Paul dito how a father should instruct his child. Yun po ang ibig sabihin nun, yun po ang heart nun, yun po ang motive and approach nun. Ang ibig sabihin po nito, a person should lovingly point out yung sin nila for him to realize na siya'y mali, siya ay nagkakasala. And from them, we hopes that he would repent from it and be restored. Hindi po ito yung agresibo na kung saan kukumprontahin mo at sasabihin mo na, ay, mali ka. Yan ang sabi sa Bible, warn. Huwag mong takutin. Okay? Huwag mong bantaan. Ang tawag dito, instruct him. Open the scriptures and tell him what is wrong and what is right. So parehas lang po, in warning a divisive person, we do not threaten them with the word, we admonish and instruct him with the word. We need to lovingly redirect yung course nila in hopes that they would realize na sila ay mali and repent. Remember, when Paul was addressing itong mga false teachers na ito, itong mga tao na ito hindi tagalabas. Ito yung mga tagaloob. People that they consider as brother and sister in Christ. Because the hope is restoration. We encourage at the same time, reproof them in view of restoration. We want them to be restored. We want them to be healed. We want them to be corrected. We want them to unite and not divide. Ang dahilan kung bakit natin binibigayan ng warning na ito ng isang beses, dalawang beses, ilan ba ang tama, Pastor? It doesn't matter, hindi yun yung point. Okay? Is for us to see how they respond. We want to see how they respond as we continue to call them out. At kung hindi sila makikinig at nabigyan na ng several warnings itong tao na to, anong sabi dyan? Have nothing. Have nothing more to do with him. Some translations, mas marahas. Sabi sa CSB, reject the divisive person. Reject. Dahil ang taong, bakit? Kaya nga binibigyan ng warning ng once, kaya binibigyan ng warning twice, kaya binibigyan ng thrice. Dahil ang tao na ito, kung hindi pa rin nakikinig, ibig sabihin niyang tumalikod na sa katotohanan na ito at lugmok na sa kanyang kasalanan. He or she should be removed from out from fellowship. Ang tawag po dyan ay church discipline or church corrective discipline. Sinummarize lang ni Paul dito ang instructions na binigay ng Panginoon Hesus Kristo sa Matthew 18, verse 15 hanggang 17. And let me read it to you. Kasi marami nagtatanong sa, Pastor, anong process ng church discipline ninyo? Well, yung process ng Panginoon Hesus Kristo, Matthew 18. Kung gusto niyo isulat yan, lagay niyo. Matthew 18, 15 hanggang 17. And this is the principle na gagawin mo if you see a brother or sister who is in sin. Or you caught them speaking language that reflects yung heart nila na kung saan nalugmok sa kasalanan. You can catch someone when this person is struggling sa sin sa mga sinasabi nila. This is how you do it. Matthew 18, 15 to 17. Verse 15, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. Between you and him alone, so hindi ho bulgaran, hindi mo pahihiyain, hindi daan sa biro, kasi ganun mga kultura natin Pinoy minsan. Dadaanin natin sa biro, pagtatawanan, kahit sabi mo half-ment. Minsan yung motive behind that is to embarrass. motive behind it. Kasi hindi ko kaya sabihin, hindi. Privately go. Only the two of you, sabi dyan. If he listens to you, praise God, you have gained your brother. Verse 16. Paano kung hindi nasagot? Sabi sa verse 16, if he doesn't listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. Magsama ka ng kapatiran. If possible, sama mo yung elder ninyo, sama niya yung pastor ninyo. Why? Kasi you need someone who will be a witness and with wise counsel judge kung ano nangyayari sa situation na to. Baka ikaw nga nagpatawag, ikaw pala yung mali. Di ba? So, ingatan natin Pastor, ako, ito, Matthew 18 yung pala, ikaw ang mali, no? I've seen this happen several times. Pero praise God, at least tinawag mo. Verse 17, pag hindi pa rin nakinig, tell it to the church. The church here is those who have been baptized and are members in church. Is how we define it. Those who have repented from their sins, put their faith in Christ, have been baptized, and have joined a local church for membership. Yun yung tinatawag natin ditong local. Kasi kung sasabihin mo universal church, sinong universal church ang sasabihin mo? It's the local church. Okay? And if he refuses to listen to the church, kung ayaw pa rin, let him be to you a Gentile and a tax collector. In short, you cannot affirm if they are really Christians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 14. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, sabi ni Paul, take note of that person, have nothing to do with him, that he may be ashamed. Hindi ba parang harsh naman yun, Pastor? I think that's harsh. Kapatid, that's not harsh. That's loving. And I know in our culture, we say, weirdo naman ito, paano naging loving to? It is loving. It is unloving. An unloving person ay pababayaan siya sa kanyang kasalanan. At hahayaan niyang wasakin ng kasalanan ng tao na to ang buong iglesia. That's unloving. Kung hindi gagawin. The hope is that he would feel. That's why we do this. That's why the purpose of church discipline is for restoration then. There's a lot of reasons kung bakit my church discipline is to warn. Is to protect the church purity. Is to hope that this person would be restored. The hope is that he would feel sorrow over his sins. Turn from it and be restored. Listen, if you are a Christian right now, you are a brother and sister in Christ, at bilang kapatid sa Panginoon na Hesukristo, kapag nakikitaan natin ng ganitong klaseng pattern ng kasalanan sa buhay ng isa ating kapatid, we need to call them out. We need to confront. If this person is in your conversation, all of a sudden, napapansin mo, is giving divisive language. Alam mo, I'm saying sa church na yan, kaya ang church na to, mas maganda. Ay, teka muna kapatid, bakit? Ano yan? Anong kwentuhan to? We need to protect our church from ng ganitong klaseng cancer po yan. Eh. Dahan-dahan kumakalat yan. Be careful. There are people already had called me out, not in that magnitude ng conversation, but there are brothers and sisters, members, you have called me out sometimes when I'm trying to engage in a conversation na medyo hindi healthy, and I praise God for brothers and sisters like that. Ilan beses ako nagpasalamat, nagsend ako ng message, thank you kapatid for the boldness. We should be open for this, mga kapatid. Kasi minsan hindi natin alam, nagagamit na tayo as people na nagde-divide ng church. Even in small comments and even in humorous ways, nagagawa natin yon. Okay? If we really love them, we must not allow them to continue in that situation. If we love them, hindi po natin dapat hayaan ma-divide ang church over sa kanyang ginagawa. Yun yung sinasabi ng verse 10. From final warnings, we go to final instructions. Mga huling tagubilin. Verse 12. When I send Artemas and Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis. Siguro nagtatang twister kayo sa mga Bible study ninyo, no? For I have decided to spend winter there. So, una-una, hindi po natin kilala si Artemas. Okay? Ang alam lang natin, yung pangalan niyan ay galing sa Greek word na ang ibig sabihin of God, hunter God, or God of hunting. After nun is wala na. Hindi natin siya kilala sa Bible. Pero since pinadala siya ni Paul para palitan si Titus, malaking bagay po yan. Makasisiguro tayo na pareho siya ng kanyang puso at abilidad ni Titus. Remember, nilagay si Titus dyan dahil malakas ang loob. Siya yung pinadala ni Paul sa Corinthians, so nagkakagulo na. Nung okay na, dali naman, Corinthians, kasing samarin yung lugar, dinala naman siya sa Crete, masama lalo. Remember, pinadala si Artemas, siguro matibay din tumama na to sa pananampalataya. Subok din ni Paul to. Hindi magpapadala si Paul ng hindi subok. No? And from there, parehas siguro parehas ng puso at abilidad ni Titus pagdating sa gawain. Hindi siya papadala ni Paul kung siya'y isang immoral na tao. Now, how about si Tychicus? Sino si Tychicus? Tychicus naman, makikita natin siya sa ibang epistles, no? Which is sa Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. Now, sino naman siya to? He is a beloved brother. Ito ang description ni Paul sa kanya. A beloved brother, a faithful minister, a fellow servant in the Lord. Kaya yung mga maganda ilagay sa puntod, ano? A faithful Alvin, a beloved brother, a faithful... Di ba? Pero, ano sinasabi ni Paul ho dito? He's someone that Paul trusts. He's someone that is very reliable. He's someone who loves him and loves the Lord. Na alam niya, pag pinadala niya itong dalawa na ito, hindi nila pababayaan ng Crete. Pinadala sila ni Paul upang palitan si Titus. Dahil ayaw niyang iwan ni Titus ang lugar na ito na walang kapalit. No? He needs men who will continue the work. He loves the churches in Crete too much na pababayaan niya ito. That's why si Paul, he's a disciple-making machine. Because he knows the work is so great, kailangan ko mag-produce, kailangan marami makakilala sa Panginoon, kailangan mga faithful men na ilagay sa mga churches. Pero pastor, di ba nag-appoint naman ng elder si Titus sa mga time na ito? Kasi yun yung inutos eh. Sure, but they need men who are well-trained. They need men who are seasoned in the ministry. They need men who are mature. They need men who will give their lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. They need men who are willing to receive sheep bite marks. Alam ko ang sheep ay hindi pinaka-violenting animal sa mundo siguro, pero nangangagat din po yan. At nag-iiwan din ang pasa sa shepherd. And it's true sa church. Kind of reminds us, mga kapatid, we need elders. We need elders who are mature. We need elders who will give their lives for gospel purposes. We need elders who are willing to receive rebuke. We need elders who are faithful in the Word of God. We need elders who will grow us in grace. And lahat ng sinabi kong yon is my prayer request sa sarili ko. Pray for me and pray for more. Pray for more. This is an important principle, mga kapatid, to keep in mind also that we should have more people who are willing to serve alongside us sa gospel ministry. We need more people who are willing to step up, more people who are willing to be trained. We need more people who are going to be useful for gospel purposes. We need more people who will give their lives to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Aside po sa malaking tulong ito para ma-spread ang gospel at marami ang makakakilala sa Panginoon at madi-disciple, on a practical side, we do not know kung hanggang kailan na lang tayo dito. If the Lord, in His sovereign plan, leads us to a different location of ministry, sino kukuha ng gawain mo? If the Lord, for some reasons, calls us back home, will there be people na kunsan who will take your place? If the Lord calls us home, will the ministry fall apart? Of course, the answer of that is not, because God is the one who is sovereign over His church. But I think we need to start training people. People who are ready to take our places. Are you training the next you? Of course, take away all of your, yung mga hindi magaganda about you, about what you're doing for the Lord. Are you training another person just like you, serving the Lord? Are you training the next person to lead the next Bible study group? Are you training people to meet another person for one-on-one discipleship? Are you training and raising up another people who will lead us in music, who will help us in ushering? That's why we desire to raise up and train our own men in hopes that if the Lord takes us, there will be elders in place. Alam mo, napaka-helpful din ito. I'll tell you why. Because if we're spreading ourselves by training more people and giving them opportunities to lead, it guards and protects our heart from ministry idolatry. I have been to churches na kung saan yung organista, organ ang tawag, ano? Kasi yun yung panahon. Organista po nila is 50 years na ron. Praise God, pero parang may problem din yon. Because walang makahawak ng organ kasi siya yung gumagalaw. Walang gagalaw dahil magagalit siya. Siya lang ang pwedeng mag-organ. It's funny, but I've seen it. I've seen it many ways. We don't want the ministry to become an idol. Train, raise up men, raise up women who will help alongside of us. I've been to a church na kung saan talagang we have really great ushers sa church namin sa Pilipinas. After 15 years, pagbalik ko sila pa rin. There's a problem with that. Where are the younger generation? I praise God for their faithfulness, don't get me wrong. But what about others? Is your presence sa Miniseto hindering others to grow? Verse 12. Do your best to come to me in Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Gusto katagpuin ni Paul si Titus sa Nicopolis to spend winter there. Ang ibig sabihin po ng lugar na ito, yung Nicopolis, is Victory Town. Yun. Punta ka sa Victory Town. It was constituted by a Roman colony sa mama na ang pangalan ay Augustus. Hindi natin alam kung bakit siya pinapupunta ni Paul doon, pero ang lugar na ito is a nice place to spend winter. Siguro parang Dubai, walang snow, hindi, tama lang yung lamig. No? Pinapupunta ni Paul doon marahil is to start evangelistic ministries probably. Paul values yung friendship niya kay Titus. He needs encouragement. He needs support. He needs him. Because people para kay Paul matter to him. Mahalaga si Titus. Mahalaga si Artemas. Mahalaga si Tychicus. Mahalaga itong mga mama na to kay Paul. Kahit hindi ganong kakilala itong mga to sa atin, they matter to him. Kahit hindi nyo sila gano'ng kilala sa Bible, they matter to God. And I know probably sa Bible studies nyo within the week, you're trying to search kung sino itong mga mamang tao. The truth is, we don't know. Pero mahalaga sila sa Panginoon. Mga kapatid, this is also true sa atin na nasa congregation na ito. You matter to God. You matter to God. Kahit hindi ka gano'ng kakilala, kahit hindi kilala yung pangalan mo, edad mo, kakayanan mo, walang nakakakita ng ginagawa mong kabutihan, you matter sa Panginoon. At ang Panginoon, nakikita niya yung lahat ng mga yan. And it is praise. And everything that you do, good things out of faith, God is glorified. Verse 13, do your best to speed Zenas the lawyer and Apollos. Zenas the lawyer. Sino na naman to si Zenas the lawyer? Dito lang na-mention ang pangalan na ito sa New Testament. So, wala tayong ganung alam sa kanya. The only thing we know about kay Zenas ay siya'y isang abogado. Again, that in itself is a problem. Kasi we don't know if he's a lawyer for Jewish law or an expert sa law, Roman law. So, hindi natin alam. We're not sure anong klaseng lawyer siya. So, the answer to that, we don't know him. However, there are some theological opinions na nakalabas dyan. Some believe that he was given sinasabi na Mary, isa siyang Greek-Roman lawyer na nakakilala sa Panginoon Jesucristo, given yung name niya. na kung saan na Zenas, it's a Greek name. Kung ito po ay totoo, kung ito po ang case, then napaka-helpful ni Zenas kay Paul as he continued to go to cities ng Rome and establish churches. Napaka-helpful na ito. Malaki ang maitutulong ng mama na ito kay Paul for guidance, advice, and even use some influence sa kakilala niya for gospel advancement. So kung ito ang case. Now, sino naman si Apollos? Si Apollos, kilala natin yan because of Acts chapter 18:14, 1 Corinthians. Makikita natin that he was a Jew na kung saan lumaki po sa famous Egyptian university and library city na ang pangalan ay Alexandria. Alexandria, founded by Alexander the Great. Itong mama ito nakakilala sa Panginoon sa Acts chapter 18, and from him he's very knowledgeable pagdating sa salita ng Diyos. Nakakilala siya sa Panginoon Jesucristo dahil sa ministry ni Priscilla at ni Aquila. Kasi ang tinuturo lang niya dati is yung baptism ni Christ. Nung mating si Priscilla at Aquila, sinabi, ay hindi, hindi dyan na into yung story. And they presented the gospel to him. And he has become the champion of evangelicals, of Christians noong time niya. With Zenas' skills, abilities, and Apollos' knowledge of Scripture, itong dalawang mama na to is a formidable team. These servants of Christ who are called to travel from place to place could be the one responsible kung bakit nakarating yung letter sa Crete. Kasi yun ang kanilang ministry, pabiyahe-biyahe ho sila eh. Okay? So, maaaring nakarating yung letter ni Paul sa Crete kasi dinala nila. Pero tingnan mo ang instruction ni Paul kay Titus. Kasi I can tell from the context, si Zenas at saka itong si Apollos nasa Crete nung nasinusulat to. Verse 13 and 14. Do your best to speed Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos in their way. See that they lack nothing. And let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. What is Paul saying here? Ito ang sinasabi ni Paul. Provide for them. Provide for these two faithful gospel workers. Paul, once again, is giving the opportunity to exemplify godly service, to exercise good works, to adorn the gospel by providing yung mga practical needs sa mga mamang ito. I just want, in application, I just want to thank our church for taking such task. You have been providing for the needs of this church. You have been faithfully giving, cheerfully, generously, sacrificially, and faithfully. And my thrust is continue. Tuloy lang po natin yan. Keep stepping out of faith in this area and providing needs sa mga manggagawa ng Panginoon. Number three and last, final greetings. Mga huling pagbati. Verse 15, all who are with me sends greetings to you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. So yung sinabi ni Paul, all who are with me, sino sila? Ang sagot, hindi pa rin natin alam. Kasi walang binanggit. But what we do know is this. Hindi siya nag-iisa. Hindi siya nag-iisa. Paul is not alone in the ministry. This tells us he has people who he is accountable to and with. Napaka-importante po neto. Friends, do you have people who you are directly accountable to and with? Do you have that person that you're walking alongside sa buhay Christian? Someone who you have a discipleship relationship with? Kung wala, I encourage you to pray and search. And if you want to be in such relationship, please let me know after the service. Sabi sa verse 15, greet those who love us in faith. This means not all of them love Paul and what he does for the gospel, but he is addressing those who love them. Ang tawag po sa pagmamahal na ito ay brotherly and sisterly love. This means is that this love is founded by something more precious, more greater than human love and affection. Kung hindi sila ganong magkakakilanan, kung hindi sila ganong ka-close, yet they're calling each other brother and sister, I love you, you love me. It's a love that is founded more than human love. This is a supernatural type of love. This is a love that is founded in Christ. God made it possible to have such selfless love for one another. Here's the reason kung bakit. Because He knows that we are by nature lovers of ourselves, no one else. Kung meron man tayong mamahalin, hindi yung iba, uunahin natin ang sarili natin. That's how we love ourselves. We love foolish controversies. Yan tayo eh. We love foolish controversies. Mahilig tayo sa chismis. Ay, alam mo na ba nangyayari? Oh, ano yun? Ay, hindi ko pa alam. Sige nga. Ito naman. Minsan, we spiritualize things. Ito kapatid sa atin lang para mapag-pray. Okay? Para mapag-pray. At from there, isiniwalat na natin ang buong buhay ng tao na ito na winasak ang kanyang pagkatao. We love controversies. Why? Because it entertains us. We love quarrels and factions. Bakit? Because it pumps our ego. It pumps our pride. We only love one person, friends, and that is ourselves. We never love God. We're never concerned about the things of God. Ang tawag sa Panginoon dyan, ang tawag ng Panginoon dyan ay idolatry. And sabi sa Bible, God does not share His glory to anyone. God hates idolatry because it is a thief that steals it from Him. God's holiness has been offended. And because of that, His righteousness demands justice. So in short, those who all committed these form of idolatries will be judged by a holy God. A holy, an eternal separation from Him. But because of the goodness and mercy and grace and kindness, and all of these have been mentioned, sa Titus, His goodness, His mercy, His grace, His kindness, the kindness of God, sends His Son, Jesus Christ, who truly loved the Father, lived a life na kung saan selfless in order to serve sinners like us on the cross. His death on the cross paid our sins. He made the great exchange na dapat tayo yon. Died, was buried, on the third day has risen from the grave, is now sitting at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. This is the greatest gift na binigay sa atin ng Panginoon, His Son, Jesus Christ. If you have now no such relationship with God, and you're saying, I'm not interested to be having any relationship with God's people, then probably you don't have relationship with God. Repent from your sins. Put your faith in Christ. Pagkatiwalaan mo siya bilang Diyos at tagapagligtas para sa kapatawaran ng inyong kasalanan. And if God transforms you, saves you, reconciles you to the Father, now we have the ability to love God and love others. Now we love others because He first loved us. We must hold on to the gospel, friends. We must live out the gospel. We must live as a church together to adorn the gospel. Yung pagmamahalan natin dapat higit pa sa mga pagmamahalan na pwede ibigay ng lupa na ito. Because itong relationship natin ay eternal. Tatagal, kailangan natin palaguin. And sometimes God has given us a beautiful, beautiful situation na yung asawa rin natin, ang asawa natin ay kapatid din natin sa Panginoon. Which means kailangan din natin silang paglingkuran. Such beauty. Titus is all about teaching and living the gospel of grace. May Crossroads Church of Dubai be marked by sound teaching and a living that complements its doctrine. Because the church is called to preserve and pass on the gospel of grace. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for giving us the book of Titus. Thank you for allowing us to see that it is indeed na kung kami ay niligtas ninyo by grace, kailangan ituro po namin yung gospel na yan of grace sa iba. At hindi lamang dapat kami eksperto, dedicated, faithful sa pagturo ng mensahe na ito, kailangan ipamuhay po namin ito para mabigyan po kayo ng kaluwalhatian sa mga tao po at sa mundo na nakatingin sa aming buhay. As we pray, we also pray, Lord, na yung mga mahal namin sa buhay na we are still trying to win for the gospel. Help us, dear Lord, to continue to live lives that would back up what we believe. I pray, Father, that we would be marked by faithfulness. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.